Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour deflector shield shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Texas to Tuscaloosa, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current one, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. How we doing, everybody? Good show lined up for you. How about this? The Dallas Cowboys coming off a humiliating loss, an embarrassing end to their season, blaming the officials, Dak under fire, McCarthy under fire, the Cowboys under fire, plus divisional round NFL playoff action straight ahead, and we've got the playmaker on the show. Michael Irvin is going to join us on hour number 4. How badass is that? Michael Irvin coming off that exit by the Cowboys. Can't wait to get his takes on everything Cowboys and NFL playoffs. That is hour number 4. Coming up in 20, the Titans sliding under the radar dangerously. In 40, a champ and a chump. An hour from now, Dak Prescott apologizes. Next hour as well, the Big 12 splitting into divisions. What will they look like? Later on in the program, Joe Burrow is calling his shot. Pete Carroll's building a new defense with a new DC. And the Niners claim they're now America's team after having dispatched of the old one. All of that coming up this morning here on The Die. You want to jump in? Let's do it. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, holla at your boy, DA on CBS. Again, that Twitter handle, follow me, tweet at me, DA on CBS. Let's begin at quarterback. Because Nick Caserio spoke yesterday, general manager of the Houston Texans, about his quarterback. This offseason stands to reason that we could have, that we should have, a couple of major superstar tier A QBs on the move. new homes, new zip codes. Deshaun Watson has yet to play in more than a year for the Houston Texans. Aaron Rodgers 1 year ago banging the drum on wanting to leave there and wanting a fresh start. And Russell Wilson has consistently dropped breadcrumbs about wanting to leave Seattle as well. Well, those are three of the best quarterbacks in a 32-team league. That could be more than 10% of the NFL's QBs. And a third of the top 10 QBs in the NFL on the move this offseason. But after Nick Caserio spoke yesterday about Deshaun Watson and about his organization, is it possible he's the only star QB who will be on the move this spring? It is where we begin. You're cold open.
There's been some commentary, and you know that more than likely would not be the case. But I think, to your point, again, like you mentioned, I think we just have to be open-minded and just take the information and process it, and ultimately make the decision. You know, that we feel makes the most sense for everybody involved, whatever that looks like.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Nick Caserio on our sports radio affiliate in Houston, Sports Radio 610, saying that it's more than likely that Deshaun Watson does not play for the Houston Texans ever again. Now, that's not exactly breaking news. We all assumed that. That's been assumed for a while now. But the GM of the Texans is finally now publicly declaring it. More than likely, he will not be a Houston Texan. But here's the thing. Let's assume Deshaun Watson does move. Who knows where that could be? Could be the Dolphins. Could be the Eagles. Could be the Broncos. Could be somewhere in between. Could be some team that hasn't even been discussed yet. Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are far less likely today, I think, of moving than they were 1 year ago. Let's start with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers wanted more say. Rodgers wanted more control. Rodgers believed that he deserved a different level of respect and control over his situation and his career. And the Packers gave it to him. Brian Gutekunst has used the last calendar year, a little bit less, because let's go back to basically August, but okay, so the last 7 months, and said, how do I fix this? And I give Gutekunst credit because he was the guy under fire. Instead of allowing ego to get in the way, hey, this is our plan. We believe Rodgers at the end of the road. He can't hold us over a barrel. Gutekunst went to work trying to make it work every day with Aaron Rodgers. What can we do with your contract? They lopped off that last year of money. And so now he has flexibility this offseason with his own situation. What players do you want? Randall Cobb? Okay, let's go and get Randall Cobb. Also, Gutekunst and Matt LaFleur have built a roster that undeniably is one of the best Rodgers has ever played with. Rodgers has gone to a Super Bowl and won one and been 15-1 the following year. And I think top to bottom, you can look at this Packers team and say they are every bit as talented as that 2010 and 2011 version, which were the best teams he ever played with. This week, they're getting two all-pro defensive players back in Jair Franklin and Zaire Smith, or Jair Alexander and Zaire Smith. These two guys are as good defensively as you'll find at that position when they are healthy, and the Packers have won this many games without those two. The running backs in the backfield have been phenomenal as a 1-2 punch for him. The bevy of wide receivers, including Devontae Adams, who might be the best in the NFL, Where is Aaron Rodgers going to argue that the Packers are not supporting him correctly or allowing him what he wants, which is freedom to decide his next step? And they certainly haven't doubled down on Jordan Love and said, he's the guy, this is our plan, we're not moving off of that plan. They've done anything but that. I think that for Rodgers, if he wins a Super Bowl this year, it is incredibly difficult to imagine him leaving after that. I just don't see confetti coming down on his head, a team that's just won a Super Bowl, and him going, and now I need to go somewhere else to compete for a Super Bowl or compete again to the NFL. Retirement after a Super Bowl championship? Maybe, although I don't think that's likely either. But leaving after you win? Now, if you want to say it might not end well for Rodgers and he might say, I got to go somewhere else to finally get over the hump. Let's say they lose this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. Could that frustration hitting a wall again leave Rodgers to believe that he should leave? Perhaps. But again, I would ask Rodgers in his most honest moment, perhaps that's a Pat McAfee interview, where do you think it's going to be better looking at this roster and knowing that the last 3 years, you have more wins over 3 years than any other franchise in the NFL? But again, guessing what Rodgers is going to do or what's happening in his head is obviously a fool's errand. As for Russell Wilson, they've made a change at defensive coordinator. Ken Norton Jr. fired yesterday. It sounds like they want to bring the band back together. Schneider, Carroll, Russ for one last go at it. But guess what? Russ gets to call his shot here. If Russ wants changes, they're going to defer to him. They're going to defer to Russell Wilson for the prime still left in his career, a potential Hall of Fame one, rather than a 70-year-old head coach. That's what they're going to do. I think they'd like to bring back both parties, but I don't think that's guaranteed. And so Russ gets to call his shot in some ways here. Russ also posting the Instagram shot of him coming out of darkness into a light and saying light at the end of the tunnel. So there's clearly something that's happening with Russ that makes him feel optimistic. Maybe that's leaving, but maybe that's staying. So I think Rodgers highly likely to stay. I have not heard anything from him over the course of this season that leads me to believe otherwise. I think for Russ, there's at least a 50-50 shot that he stays. And I think for Deshaun Watson, it's about 100% that he's gone. But wouldn't it be interesting if we thought that, oh man, this offseason, there's going to be three tier A QBs on the move, and ultimately, it ends up being one tier A guy on the move, and that guy's got 22 civil suits against him. 855-212-4CBS. On the phones, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up here on the show, the Bills and the Chiefs are garnering tons of attention for perhaps the de facto AFC championship game. Winner of that, everybody feels, is the best team in the AFC to represent them in the Super Bowl. And yet, neither one is the one seed. That belongs to the Tennessee Titans. And all the Titans have to do is beat a Bengals squad that took 31 years to finally get on the winning ledger in the postseason. So,
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A team that is also getting an MVP candidate back this weekend, should we be allowing them to slide under the radar? We'll talk about the Titans' chances and what's the reality for them coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S. B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
Yeah, my bleep
Gwen Stefani.
Is bananas. B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
B-A-N-N-A-S.
You toss me around that deck, so it's not just gonna happen like that. Cause ain't no hollaback girl, ain't no hollaback girl. A few times I've been around that deck.
B-A-N-N-N-A-S.
Laugh and learn every morning aboard the mothership.
Spelling here aboard the mothership. Thanks so much for being with us. You can always listen to us on hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on SiriusXM 158. And check us out by streaming us using the Odyssey app or the CBS Sports app. Plus, you can tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Good news for the Packers health-wise. They're getting everybody back. David Bakhtiari dealing with a knee issue, but supposedly just load management. He's expected back. Jair Alexander, shoulder injury. Standout corner. He's expected back. Aaron Jones, knee injury, running back. He sat out, load management. He's expected back. Tackle Billy Turner, knee injury as well. Also expected back. Plus, you're looking at getting guys back who haven't been there for a while, including outside linebacker Za'Darius Smith, outside linebacker Whitney Mercilus, and Randall Cobb, who were on injured reserve at times in the last few weeks. So the Packers are not only coming off a bye, but the Packers also are getting a bunch of guys back and healthy at the perfect time. Look, coming off yet another one seed like they were last year and yet another bye, which they have been the last 2 years, the Packers have to get to a Super Bowl. They cannot flame out in this round. They cannot flame out in the NFC Championship game. This is Super Bowl or bust. There are no excuses. They are healthy. They are the one seed. They are rested. And there is nobody in the NFC, not the Bucks, not the Rams, not the Niners, that can match them talent for talent. They have to get to a Super Bowl. And everything's lining up for them to do exactly that as all of these bodies, crucial bodies for them, are coming back against the 49ers at a time when the 49ers are banged up. Perhaps the two most important pieces defensively for the 49ers, their two pass rushers, Bosa as well as Warner, are both coming off of injuries in Sunday's game against the Dallas Cowboys. And without that pass rush, Garoppolo and company don't stand a chance. They don't. They don't stand a chance because they've got to make life really uncomfortable for Aaron Rodgers. You cannot line up and expect Jimmy G to make even 50% of the throws that Rodgers is going to make. So the Niners have to keep Rodgers off the field. by getting him in three and outs, by making him uncomfortable, and by running the football. And the first two parts of those three huge keys come from Bosa and Warner and the pass rush. So this is pretty simple. If those two guys can play on Saturday night, the Niners stand a chance. If those two guys can't play, or one of those two guys can't play, the Niners are toast. I really believe that's as simple as the mathematics get on that game, on that matchup. In the AFC, everyone's pointing to that Sunday nighter, that Chiefs and Bills game, as saying, winner is your AFC champ, and not so fast. Certainly right now, they are two of the most impressive teams in the postseason. And you could certainly make the argument they are the two most impressive teams coming off of wild card weekend. The Bills shattered their nemesis, the Patriots, and never punted. The Chiefs ripped off five consecutive drives of a touchdown and blew right past the Steelers at Arrowhead last weekend. Those two teams looked as good as they could possibly look. And in terms of peaking at the right time, if those two teams are peaking at the right time, they certainly feel like they are as dangerous as could be for the Titans or the Bengals. For the Bengals, and we'll talk more about this later on in the show, because Joe Burrow wanted an expectation to win a playoff game every single year. He wants that to be the bar. If the Bengals end up losing to the Titans, it's still a wildly successful season. They won the division. They got to the playoffs. They won a playoff game for the first time in more than 30 years. No matter what happens on Saturday early, and this is the first game of the weekend, no matter what happens, the Bengals have seen Joe Burrow take the next step. Jamar Chase turned into one of the best wide receivers in football. Their defense take a step forward and get playoff experience and a W in January. Everything else is gravy. It really is. Everything else in this postseason, even if Joe Burrow doesn't want to say it and Zach Taylor can't say it, is gravy. Not so much for the Titans. The Titans are the one seed. The Titans had the bye, and the Titans get Derrick Henry back. They can't lose this football game. And I always think it's dangerous to underestimate a team of the Tennessee Titans' skill set. A team that, well coached, usually maximizes its talent, and has the DNA to win the line of scrimmage. In the playoffs, those things, those dynamics always, always perform well. You know the Titans aren't going to be a bunch of bozos on the sideline, game management, time management, call a stupid play. I'm looking at you, Mike McCarthy and Kellen Moore. You know that the Titans aren't going to underperform in a playoff game, come out and just lay a total egg and go, oh man, never saw that one coming, like the Patriots. And an offensive and defensive line that believes we're the dominant force on the line, on the field right now. Controls tempo, controls clock, controls game situations, controls momentum, crowd noise, all of that type of thing. You've got those three things going for you. You've got a shot at every playoff game you ever play. And now add to it Derrick Henry, who, of course, when healthy, is one of the most difficult running backs in football to bring down. But also, he's been resting for 2 months. He's been resting for 2 months. So will we get a refreshed Derrick Henry, an explosive Derrick Henry? Will we get a Derrick Henry that just looks like he is far more physical and has that burst that nobody else on the field does because they all played 17 games? I mean, this is a Titan situation that's a huge X factor in the playoffs, and we talked about this with a month to play. Look, if Derrick Henry comes back, look out of the AFC playoffs, because whether the Titans were the one seed or the seven seed, getting that guy back changes the entire game situation, every game situation, every situation in a game. So the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes, the Bills have Josh Allen, and all the Titans have is Ryan Tannehill. And the Chiefs have a pair of Super Bowl appearances, and the Bills have Bills Mafia, and the Bills have been to the playoffs year after year, went to the AFC Championship game this year, and went to Arrowhead and won during the regular season. And here are the Titans, who lost Derrick Henry, won some games ugly, don't have the star power of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce or Stephon Diggs. They don't have that unbelievably ferocious fan base that we watch on Sunday Night Football or on Monday Night Football and see slamming tables in the parking lot, squeezing ketchup and mustard all over themselves, doing ice luges in -1 degree weather. We don't see a sea of red chanting the Chiefs chant, going crazy, going bonkers on every third down. We don't see that in Tennessee. They don't have that history. They don't have that reputation. And so people are certainly sleeping on the Titans. Nobody has ever said you can't go to Nashville and win. But all of those things are perfect for Tennessee. They love sliding under the radar. They like not being paid attention to. They like winning ugly. They're built to win ugly. And so while, just look at their time slot. The first game of the weekend is always, by NFL television executive stance, the least interesting game. We always joke about the 4:30 Saturday game. And that's always the game from a TV executive. The Bengals got it twice in a row. They got the 4:30 Saturday last week. They'll get the 4:30 Saturday this week. The Titans are the one seed. They got Derrick Henry. They got the 4:30 Saturday. Who's going to watch that? But when you overlook the Titans is when they got you right where they want them. And I'm telling you, they're going to run Derrick Henry. They're going to run him into the ground. They're going to go heavy rush attack, and they're going to say, stop this freight train. And if the Bengals can't, and the Tennessee Titans end up winning 26-10, they'll still be the underdog next week at home against whoever they play, the Chiefs or the Bills. And it'll be perfectly fine for the Tennessee Titans. Standing by with our headline this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogish. AB, good morning.
DA, good morning again. So 5 of the 6 wildcard games were regular season rematches. We get 3 more this weekend, including Packers-Niners Saturday night at Lambeau. Green Bay won on a Mason Crosby buzzer beater in NorCal back in the first month of the season. That was a long time ago, says Kyle Shanahan.
I think both teams are a lot better. It was earlier in the year for both of us. You know, I think we hadn't lost a game yet. I think they were 500 at the time. And, I don't think either of us were executing as good as we are now on both sides.
Niners linebacker Fred Warner practiced yesterday at limited basis and said he's feeling good after a scary ankle injury Sunday in Dallas. On the coaching front, the Broncos interviewed Dallas coordinators Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore yesterday. The Dolphins interviewing Josh McDaniels today. And Colts D coordinator Matt Eberflus is the first to get a second interview in Jacksonville. How about a little NBA three-way last night? The Nuggets getting three-point shooter Bryn Forbes. The Spurs get Juancho Hernan Gomez from the Celtics, while Boston gets Bol Bol and P.J. Dozier from Denver. The trade helping the Seas avoid the luxury tax by saving $4.3 million. On the court, just 2 games last night, the Warriors dumped the T-Wolves 102-86. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson combining for 39 points on 7 threes. And the T-Wolves got a 112-110 win over the Knicks at the Garden. men's college poops, a little drama in Norman, Oklahoma.
McCormick, left side, Jalen Wilson. Shot clock showing 12. Abaji dribbling out front. Trap comes. Abaji left side. Leans in. Kicks to Brown. He'll try a three. He got it! He got it! Christian Brown from downtown. And KU goes up three with 11 seconds to play.
Brian Hattie from Learfield, Christian Brown, the go-ahead three. He shot it earlier than Bill Self wanted, so the coach said post-game it better have gone in. It did, and it got the seventh-ranked Jayhawks a 67-64 win over the Sooners. Number five, Baylor, snapping a two-game slide, 77-68 at West Virginia. Number six, Duke, took a 79-78 tumble in OT at Florida State. And number eight, Wisconsin, outscored Northwestern 82-76 for an eight-game win streak. Johnny Davis scored 27. Free agent shortstop Carlos Correa is hiring Scott Boras for whenever free agency resumes before the lockout, which is now on day 48. Boras got $630 million of deals from Max Scherzer, Corey Seager, and Marcus Semien. On ice last night, the Hurricanes snapped the Bruins' five-game win streak, 7-1 in Boston. The Panthers' nine-game point streak ended in Calgary 5-1, and the Lightning won in L.A. 6-4 despite playing with just four defensemen. One of them, Victor Hedman, had two goals and an assist. Then Rafael Nadal, Naomi Osaka, and Madison Keys won on day three of the Aussie Open. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back here on the show, we've got a champ and we've got a chump. Let's do it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Only one letter separates them, but they're galaxies apart. One is a true winner. One is a pathetic loser. This is DA's champ or chump.
Remember that the DA show is always available in podcast form, so anything you may have missed or want to hear again, always available to you. So check us out in podcast form. That is the full 4 hours or the best of the show, plus the PGP, which is brand new and ready to go. We taped it yesterday, the show about the show, including the Morgan Freeman cameo last week, the Fat Journal, and much more. Check it out. The Permission Granted podcast is part of the entire DA Show family of podcasts. I was reading an SI deep dive on the paralysis of Sean Bradley. Bradley was a top pick back in the early 90s, was kind of a freak of nature, 7'6". He never lived up to the billing of being the number two pick overall of the 76ers, but became a shot blocker and a very good defensive player in the NBA for a while. Had a very good career with the Dallas Mavericks. And tragically, a year ago, was paralyzed in a bicycling accident. And so this deep dive on Sean Bradley just detailed the pain that he's going through and the daily life of somebody who not only is paralyzed from the chest down, but also is 7'6". He has created such a different series of problems to solve for the medical staff because they have so much more human being, basically, to deal with than your normal human who is going through something like this. And so it was a really painful read, but a really important read, I thought. And his wife, Carrie, came out of a really difficult relationship. Her children were really, they were affected negatively by her previous boyfriend slash husband. And Sean Bradley, before he was paralyzed, became a real mentor to them. And Carrie just fell in love with him and couldn't believe her good fortune with how kind of a guy and how generous of a guy and how wonderful of a guy she had found after what was a horrendous first relationship. And then this happens, and Sean is in complete depression, and he doesn't know how his life can go on. And Carrie is just there with this spirit and this enthusiasm of helping him through every single day and also kicking his butt a little bit, kicking his butt mentally to not be down and to try to keep fighting and to try to stay positive, which, as you might imagine, is incredibly difficult. And he now can't believe his good fortune with the type of person that she is. And I just thought it was such a wonderful story of helping one another and really two soulmates that found one another for a purpose that's well beyond just the classic getting married, have a family, living together. And I just thought Carrie ends up being the hero in this story because she is there to do everything, but also not just physically, what can I get you, Sean? It is spiritually and emotionally and mentally helping him every single day, which is a traumatic experience and will be for a long, long time. So I want to give Sean Bradley's wife, Carrie, all the love today because this story was really powerful and she is a hero in it and a superstar on a daily basis to the point where I think a lot of people could never know that type of responsibility and that type of role in life.
That's DA's champ.
Your chump on the morning is Cliff Kingsbury because yet again, Cliff Kingsbury's team goes into the complete crapper when it matters most. The second half swoons of Cliff Kingsbury go all the way back to the first year at Texas Tech. You can set your watch to it. Every single year, his teams, either in Lubbock or in Phoenix, collapse down the stretch. And 2 weeks ago, FanSided did a story about Kingsbury and the swoons that his teams have gone through. And this is well before they had lost in the playoff game, obviously, the other night. But I want to read to you some quotes from NFL people in this story 2 weeks ago, okay? An AFC scouting director, quote, Kingsbury's overhyped, not a good coach. He's all hype, no substance. A league source with ties to the Cardinals, quote, honestly, Cliff is such an easygoing guy. He's got an easygoing atmosphere. Leading into week one, the first team never practice or play together at full speed, and veterans hardly ever practice. There is no structure or no discipline there. The source says they've just relied on the fact that they've got superior talent the past two seasons. But when DeAndre Hopkins went out, other guys went down. That bleep just doesn't fly in the NFL. The AFC scouting director. With Kyler a little banged up, no DeAndre, it lessens what defenses have to do to beat them, and defensively losing J.J. Watt was huge. These are huge parts of why the Cardinals aren't good right now. An NFC playoff director, NFC personnel director, rather. When you play the big boys playoff time, they look at you and basically say, this is how we're going to beat you, and they do it. Arizona's an arena football team. If they lose their perimeter guys, they lose their identity. They're a finesse squad. They race out to 7-0, and they're playing in good climates. Three of those games are at home. Three are in the heat. And then you get to December and January in not good climates, and you're screwed bigger than life. You're going to places like Green Bay, and it's like, wow, we're not used to this. These are all what they've said 2 weeks ago. Okay, to FanSided 2 weeks ago. And it reared its ugly head again that the league looks at Kingsbury squads as soft and that Kingsbury's laid back and it's all finesse, but they look at Kingsbury around the league as that's the Arena League guy. And how can you argue? How can you argue? Because it's not just this year. It's not just the last 2 years. It's not just the last 3 years of the NFL. It's every year he's ever been a coach. And I think what you see is a guy that is built up because of facade. He's built up, let's face it. Let's give him credit where credit is due. He looks really good. He's on the sideline. His hair is perfectly parted. His clothes are nice and formally fitting. He looks handsome. He looks tall. He looks like he should be a quarterback. He looks like he would know what to do with quarterbacks. And then you add to it that he runs an offense that's an air raid offense from his days at Texas Tech, and he knows how to get wide receivers going in a million different directions and the quarterback some big-time yards and points, and his offense looks real fun. And that persona has lifted him to where he is. stories about how recruits' moms want him to come to town because they think he's so handsome. Viral videos of him doing dances with his team and his players. He's always been young for his position, so he's connected with youth and young guys. And I'm not taking anything away from him of those things that work in terms of acquiring talent, connecting with people, etc. But in terms of a football coach, he has refused to adjust or to evolve beyond just the big offense guy. And DeAndre Hopkins goes down, and the Cardinals are totally lacking then offensively. And J.J. Watt goes down, and suddenly they're totally lacking defensively. And what did that tell you? That the leadership came from the players, not the coach. And what happened on Monday night, I've heard some people say, hey, don't worry about it. First time of the playoffs, you'll learn. No. You've got to at least compete in the playoffs. Just getting there and getting your doors blown off from the first snap is not experience. That's not an experience. That's just showing up to the carnival and watching it and waving and walking away. You've got to compete in that game. And the Cardinals didn't. And Kyler Murray didn't. And Cliff Kingsbury's offense didn't. And they were a disaster. And acting like that's playoff experience just because you stepped on the field? No. That's the perfect climate. That's a dome, basically. It's Los Angeles with a roof on the top of it. You can't compete there. You can't get a first down there. So I just think what you see with Cliff is a guy that looks like he's got it together. But what you get from people behind the scenes is he doesn't. He's there because he looks the part and his offense is interesting. But ultimately, there's no substance to it. And we saw this again on Monday. You couldn't even compete. And yet again, losing five of your final six, Cliff Kingsbury is the chump.
That's DA's chump. Class is now dismissed.
You can always hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Did you see the Willie O'Ree ceremony yesterday where the Boston Bruins retired his number? How cool was that?
So cool. So cool. And ESPN Plus did a great piece on it as well leading into the retirement ceremony that I think is worth watching.
Willie O'Ree was the first NHL player who was of color. He was Canadian, but he was a black player in the late 50s that broke the color line. And when you think about this, I thought this was astounding. Jackie Robinson did it in 47. Willie O'Ree did it in 59, I believe, either 58 or 59. So it took the NHL more than a decade. 58, he did it. More than a decade to break the color barrier. So that's how long it took for a player of Willie O'Ree to get through and play in the NHL. But also, think about how long ago Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier. The 40s, shortly after World War II. And he passed away by the early 70s. So there's no concept of what Jackie Robinson would be, could be in modern America. Willie O'Ree is 86 years old, and did you hear him, Merez? He is put together. He speaks great. He thinks great. I mean, he didn't seem a day over 70. He seemed young.
Completely sharp. Completely sharp. So well-spoken. So articulated. And remember, this was supposed to happen either last year or 2 years ago, but due to fan restrictions, or I guess it was last year, that they couldn't do it.
Right. So I thought it was inspiring that Willie O'Ree is not only still with us to see a day like today. I mean, imagine Jackie Robinson still being with us. Now, again, Robinson did it about 11 years earlier, but could you imagine Jackie Robinson having lived until the 2000s? He died in his early 50s. And I think that a lot of it had to do with the type of pressures that were on those players. Jackie, Larry Doby, Willie O'Ree, the guys that broke the NFL's color barrier, Marion Motley. The pressures on those guys, the hate that they got, the intensity that they had to live their life was it wore on them. And for Jackie, I mean, undoubtedly, it scarred him, and that he was never a healthy man after his career and passed away in his 50s. I mean, he just, it had weighed such a ton on him. For us to still have Willie O'Ree is such, it's just such a wonderful blessing. And for him to see that yesterday is such a wonderful blessing. And for the Bruins to finally do that, retire his number, is such a wonderful blessing. And I just thought the entire thing was really cool and a really great moment and a really great sports moment and cultural moment. And it was inspiring just to hear Willie talk about his time. And he's 86 years old and sounds like he could be, just listening to him, be with us for another 15 years, which is awesome. When we come back here on the show, Dak Prescott went after the officials after Sunday's game and had to walk that back yesterday. That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.